Okay, let's turn in our Bibles once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. And tonight we want to look at verses 21 through 28. And here we have a wonderful story about a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite woman, who came to the Lord with her need. So let's look in Matthew 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to open the word together to consider this passage of Scripture, and Lord, we ask that you would teach each one of us in a special way. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we're told in verse 21 that right after having fed the 5,000, it says, Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is kind of a remarkable statement because Tyre and Sidon were Gentile Phoenician cities on the Mediterranean coast, part of what's now southern Lebanon. And so what we see here is Jesus leaving Galilee and heading either towards the coast, either towards the cities of Tyre and Sidon, or into the cities itself. Now, the preposition here is into. There's some debate as to whether it sometimes and most often means into, but it's sometimes translated as towards. And some have looked at this passage and said the Lord Jesus didn't leave Israel at all during this time. And so they've assumed that he just went towards those cities, and others read it that he went into those cities. And I think the most common way of reading that is he went into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Either way, this was still the land that God gave to Abraham and to his seed. But what is certain that the Lord Jesus did not go into this region to have special campaigns and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's not why he went there. This was a Gentile population, and he was not going there to offer himself as their king, nor was he going there to offer the Gentiles the kingdom of Israel, obviously. In fact, as we read through this, it's pretty clear that the Lord Jesus went there to get away from the crowds. He went there to get some relaxation and refreshment. And you know, this was really, we've noted for the last several months, that this is really kind of a turning point in the ministry. Jeff wore us out in choir today. My voice is gone. It's kind of a turning point in his ministry. The religious leaders had rejected him. Clearly, they accused him of casting out demons in the power of Beelzebub or Satan. And then the Lord Jesus even turned against his own cities and his home base city of Capernaum. And he said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had the light that you had, they would have repented. So he was rebuking their cities in the region where he had been preaching for so long because of their unbelief. And just recently, in our last study, when the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000, when that happened, that crowd rushed towards the Lord and they wanted to make him king. But the Lord knew that their hearts weren't in the right place. They wanted to make him king for all the wrong reasons. He had been offering himself as the king of Israel, but they were interested in him being their king because he offered them free bread, not because they were interested in the kingdom of God. And so the Lord Jesus rejected that kind of an offer because of the motive behind it. And he rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, we saw last time as well, because of their hypocrisy. They cleaned the outside of the cup, but inside was still filth. They had their own traditions that they elevated above the Word of God. Recently, John the Baptist had been executed, so it was dangerous in that region. And so we read in verse 21, "For all those reasons, Jesus went thence and departed." He left his home base near Capernaum, and he headed towards Tyre and Sidon as a place where he could go get some temporary relief. And this was, we're going to see, is a pattern in the Lord's ministry now. He preaches, he's opposed, and then he withdraws to get away. And he does that in a few series, repeatedly. So here the Lord Jesus was not going to minister to the Gentiles in Tyre and Sidon. That wasn't his purpose. If he started preaching the gospel in these Gentile regions, he would have lost all credibility throughout the whole nation of Israel. So he departed there in order to get some rest and in order to bring his disciples apart from the crowds so that he could spend some time concentrating on teaching the 12 apostles. But when he's there, notice in verse 22, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, Tyre and Sidon, and this the Phoenician coast, and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.'" So here was a woman, a Canaanite, called a Syrophoenician woman in Mark. She was a Greek. She was Hellenized, had Greek culture, maybe spoke Greek, but was Syrophoenician or Canaanite by her nation. She was a descendant of the Canaanites. Now, as a Canaanite, she had no part in Israel. She had no part in Israel's promises, her covenants, and she had no part in Israel's Messiah at this point. But notice in verse 22, she addresses him as, "Lord, thou son of David." If only the Jews had enough discernment to recognize that he was the Lord, the Son of David. But here we see this Canaanite woman recognizing him as the Son of David. She associated him with the title that was his because of the Davidic covenant, where God promised to David and to David's seed, one of whom would be the Messiah. That's the seed, the line through whom the Messiah would come. Now, keep a hand here in Matthew 15 and go back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice how Matthew begins his gospel. He says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, normally you might think he would say the son of Abraham, the son of David. But he says, "The son of David, the son of Abraham." This woman was a Canaanite. She recognized the Lord Jesus as the son of David, associating him with the Davidic covenant. And she uses that special title, "Thou son of David." That's what the Jews cried in the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. "Hosanna to the son of David." So Matthew introduces Messiah in this gospel as the son of David and then as the son of Abraham. Now, as the son of David, that speaks of Messiah's restricted role to the children of Israel. But as the son of Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant, that speaks of Messiah and his role as the Savior of the world. In the Davidic covenant, there was a promise that all families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's seed, the Messiah. And yet in Matthew chapter 15, when this Gentile, this Canaanitish woman addresses the Lord Jesus, she uses that very distinctive Jewish title, Thou Son of David. And she asks him, on that basis, Thou Son of David, have mercy on my Gentile daughter who is demon-possessed. She recognizes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one the Hebrew prophets spoke about. He is that seed of David, that seed of Abraham. She seemed to recognize that. And so she comes to him in her need. Now, this is a mother. This is a mother whose daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Who knows what kind of horrors this demon put her through? So she is pleading for the Messiah to heal her daughter. And then the Lord Jesus gives a response that I'm sure the critics are going to criticize. But notice what he says in verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. So here was a Gentile woman who came to the Lord Jesus correctly acknowledging that he is the Messiah, the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. And on that basis, she asks for a blessing from him. And Jesus doesn't answer her at all. Do you think he was being rude? Obviously not. For God so loved the world. God even loved the Canaanites. But this woman, as a Canaanite, had no right to come to Jesus as a Jew and lay claim to the promises given to the nation of Israel exclusively through the line of David. But that's the way she came. And even the disciples were irritated at this woman, and they came to the Lord and said, She's bothering us too. Please send her away. And then notice the answer the Lord does give in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So here Jesus states his mission as the Messiah King. He was sent not to the Gentiles, but he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel exclusively. And John tells us that as he opens his gospel, John says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Those who were not his own had no claim on him. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Not the father of the Canaanites, but the father of the Israelites. Jesus was a servant, a minister of the circumcision, or the Jews. And later Paul wrote in the book of Romans in chapter 9, he says, Who are Israelites? To whom, to the Israelites, pertain the adoption and the glory, that Shekinah glory, and the covenants? They were all to the Jews. And the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the tabernacle service, and the promises, they were all given to the Jews, to the Israelites. And then he goes on to say, Of whom is concerning the flesh, Christ came. Christ came for the Jews. The promises were for the Jews. Everything, his ministry, was for the Jews. And Paul tells us also in the book of Ephesians that the Gentiles were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were foreigners. Those covenants that God gave through David and Abraham to the children of Israel, the Gentiles had no claim on them. Even in the temple, in the tabernacle, there was a partition separating the Gentiles from the Jews. And so when this woman came to the Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and identified him as the son of David and laid claim to that, and asked him on that basis to heal her daughter, Jesus replied, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is not my mission, ma'am. Now, obviously, the Lord was not being rude. But rather, this was designed. The Lord knows all things. He knows the hearts of all men and all women. And here the Lord designed this situation to test the faith of this woman. A spectacular and important lesson that he gives in light of the question of this woman as well. So let's continue on. Look in verse 25. It says, "And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." So first she came, claiming that promise that God made through David, through David's seed, the Messiah. And she asked for the Lord to heal her daughter on that basis. And Jesus at first didn't speak a word. And then he spoke up and said, "I am not sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel exclusively." But this woman wouldn't give up. It says, and then, after he said that, she came and worshipped him. She bowed down before him and said, "Lord, help me." And this word for worship, meaning bowed down, was in the imperfect tense, which means she kept on doing that. That's what it happened in the past, and she kept on doing that. In other words, she was persistent. She wasn't going to be deterred. She would not quit. She kept coming to the Lord and bowing down and crying out for his help. But notice what a change this second time she came to the Lord. She no longer refers to him as the son of David. Now she calls him just Lord, Master. And notice that she's no longer appealing to him on the basis of the Davidic covenant, promises which were never made to her. Now she comes appealing to the Lord on the basis of his mercy. She says, "Lord, help me. I'm in need." It was the pitiful plea of a frantic mother seeking help for her suffering daughter. And that was the only basis that she came to him now. And then the Lord said something. Remember, he's testing her faith. In verse 26, "But he answered and said, It is not meet, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog." Wow. Now Jesus is using this illustration here. He's illustrating her position as a Gentile, and as a Gentile, her relationship to God's people Israel and to their Messiah King. And in this illustration, the Lord wants to help this woman to understand the purpose of his mission. He didn't come for the Phoenicians. He didn't come for the Moabites. He didn't come for the Egyptians. He came in his ministry as Messiah for Israel. They were God's chosen people. First to the Jew first. And he came to offer the fulfillment of the covenant promises that he made through Abraham and David and in the new covenant as well. So Jesus uses an illustration. Israel was sort of like a family seated around the family table and having a dinner. And his point was that this woman was like a dog. Now when we think of dogs, we think of cute, cuddly puppies, and we think of nice golden retrievers that are always by your side. But when in Bible times, dogs were not so much that, they were more like a scavenger animal. And the dog might come around the table looking for some scraps from the table. And so here was a woman who came to the Lord Jesus with a hungry heart, with a grieving heart for her daughter. And Jesus wanted to know, wanted to test, to show her whether her faith was real or not. Was her heart humbled before the Lord? Was her heart tender before Christ? Or was she just like one of the multitudes that we just read about when the Lord Jesus fed 5,000 people and they all wanted him to be the king, but not for the right reason, not because they wanted to trust in him as their Savior, but rather they just liked free bread. Was she coming for free health care? Please heal my daughter. You know, many people come to the Lord in a time of crisis with real needs, and they just want God to do them a favor and then get it over with so they can get back to their lives and just forget about God until the next crisis. And very often their hearts aren't humbled, they have no interest in spiritual things, and they're not right with God. They just want to use God to get a favor from Him. And so here the Lord was testing this woman in that way. How would she respond? How would she respond to her plea if Jesus likened her to one of those scavenger dogs that sat around the table waiting for a scrap to fall off the table? How would she respond if Jesus said that she was an outsider to Israel? She was an outcast from Israel. She was unworthy of the blessings that God was giving to Israel. And they were unworthy as well. But how would she respond? And we read in verse 27, "And she said, 'Truth, Lord.'" In other words, "You're right, Lord. I am like that scavenger dog. I am unworthy for any blessing from a holy God." She fully agrees with God's assessment of her. She's humbled. Now, pride would have said, "Who do you think you are? And who do you think the Jews are? They're no better than us, Phoenicians." But that was not the heart attitude of this woman. She said, "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She gladly took the role, subservient to the Israelites, like a dog around their table, and asking for some crumbs that fall on the floor. You know, the Lord Jesus earlier said, "They that are whole need not a physician." And what he meant was the self-righteous Pharisees, who really didn't think they were sinners, they were like people who didn't accept the fact that they were sick, and therefore they're never going to go to a doctor. And Jesus said, "I am not come to call the righteous. I'm not come to call people that think they're good and people that think they're righteous in my sight. Rather," Jesus said, "I am come to call sinners to repentance." Those who acknowledge their unworthiness, those who acknowledge they're sinful in the sight of a holy God. And that's exactly what this woman did. She willingly, she says, "Truth, Lord, I am like that dog around the table." She acknowledged herself as an outsider, an alien, a stranger to God, alone in the world without God. Now, if Jesus said he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Jesus was acknowledging that the Israelites were like lost sheep. They were lost. For the most part, the Israelites wouldn't accept that fact. But this woman gladly accepted the Lord's assessment of her. She was like a lost sheep. She was like a scavenger dog, an alien, cut off from all the covenant promises of Israel. And she says, "That's true, Lord. I accept that." Jesus was basically saying to this woman, "You have no right to claim Israel's blessing as an outcast, as a Canaanite, as a member of a cursed nation." Remember, the Canaanites were the ones God said to Moses, "Go into the land and kill all the Canaanites." Their time for judgment had come. They were ripe for God's wrath and God's judgment. And this woman was a descendant of those who were ripe for God's judgment. And she seemed to be admitting this. She acknowledged she was an unworthy outcast, that she had nothing good to offer God. And so she came to the Lord, just like the publican in Luke 18, and she just bowed down before Him. And she said, "Truth, Lord." And the Lord blessed her. She demonstrated here the same kind of faith that Abraham had. And so the woman, notice in verse 27, she takes this illustration of the Lord even to a higher level in verse 27. She says, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She agrees that she's not worthy to sit at meat, at food, at the table of the Israelites. Those blessings don't belong to her. That's God's chosen people, and she is not one. But here she says she's kind of like the family dog. And the master of the house, she acknowledges, is good. And if he's a good master, then he will certainly take care of his children. But if he's good and kind, he'll at least give some scraps to the family dog. You know, it takes quite a bit of humility to accept someone calling you or likening you to an unworthy scavenger animal. And then this woman said, "Yes, Lord, truth, but you're a good master." She's counting on God's goodness. She's counting on God's mercy. Now just think of the contrast here between the humility of this woman and the religious leaders that the Lord Jesus had recently been dealing with. The religious leaders were like those children sitting at the table. They had all the privileges of all the blessings God promised Israel, and they didn't appreciate any of it. And they were rejecting his ministry all throughout the nation of Israel. Yes, they were children by natural birth, but that did not mean they had experienced a new birth. Natural birth has nothing to do with faith or having any merit before God. They were seated at that table as God's people because the nation was chosen. But most of them were not saved. The religious leaders assumed that they were superior to those Gentiles. They called the religious leaders called Gentiles dogs. And they assumed that because they were the ones seated at the table with all of these privileges and promises and blessings from the Lord, that they must be superior to those little scavenger animals that lived around them, those Gentile dogs. The Jews felt they deserved it. And yet the Lord Jesus had just pointed out the hypocrisy of those religious leaders. They held their own man-made traditions higher than God's word. And the Lord called them out on that and rebuked them for their hypocrisy. These religious leaders were proud of their religion. They could beat their chest and say, "We have the true God, Jehovah. We have the temple and the prophets and the scriptures. They're all Jewish." And yet the Lord said to them, "But you're the ones who persecuted the prophets. And you're the ones who defiled the temple of the Lord. And you're the ones who have put your own traditions above the scriptures." Yes, they had all those privileges, but they trampled over it. And they considered themselves the leaders of the Gentiles, the leader of those blind Gentiles. And the Lord Jesus said they were like blind leaders of the blind. And yet when this woman came to the Lord, she came to him with a real need. And she came acknowledging no religious merit before God whatsoever. She accepted the fact that she was an outcast from God. And she fell before the Lord Jesus in humble, simple, childlike faith. And she worshiped him. She bowed down before him and cried out for mercy and for grace. And we read in verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." You know, at first he wouldn't even talk to her. She came to him on the basis of promises that were made to Israel. They were not related to her, and he didn't even answer her. And then when she was persistent and kept on coming, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. And then he gave an illustration, and he likened her to a scavenger animal. And she saw all the way through it. She persisted. She kept bowing down to the Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. I accept all that. Help me. And now Jesus speaks to her, and he praises her faith. And her request for her daughter, the woman was, that daughter was healed from that very hour. And what a massive slap in the face this must have been to the proud Jews who hated the Gentiles. The Lord had been rejecting them, rebuking their cities, and now he dares minister to this Canaanite woman, a nation under a curse of God? This was groundbreaking. She had no claim whatsoever to the covenant promises, no claim whatever to the Messiah. She really was like a dog with no right to eat at the children's table. And yet it was always God's intention, right from the very beginning. Read the Abrahamic covenant. It was always God's intention that when the Messiah came, yes, to the Jew first, he would offer the kingdom. But through that Messiah, through the Abrahamic covenant, there is a promise that said that all families of the earth would be blessed as a result. Even the Canaanite families, even this Syrophoenician woman. And this woman was the only person to whom the Lord Jesus ministered to outside of their boundary lines of Palestine. And why did he minister? He didn't go there for the purpose of preaching to the Canaanites. Maybe it was just because this woman had a need and he was a loving, gracious God. And it's his nature to meet the needs of those who come to him in simple, childlike faith. And she was a woman who was saved out of the darkness of heathenism. Kind of like the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, when there's a person anywhere in the world that responds to God's light and truth and really hungers for more light and truth, God will seek that person out and send more light. And maybe send a missionary or send the gospel there or send a scriptures to them one way or another. And that's what the Lord did to this woman, this Gentile woman. He granted her request because God delights in saving and God delights in blessing people who bow before him in simple childlike faith. But note that in this story, the woman did not receive anything from the Lord. He didn't even speak to her when she elevated herself up to be equal to the Jews and wanted a blessing from the Jewish Messiah. Jesus didn't even respond to her when she came to him that way. And rather than blessing, she was humbled by the Lord. He let her know that she was an outcast. She had no say. She had no benefits from those Jewish covenants whatsoever. But when this woman came and humbled herself and cried out for God's grace and mercy, God, the Lord Jesus, who is full of grace, grace upon grace, he is full of mercy. It's his nature to help people in need when they come to him that way. And so she came to the Lord in her great need with her heart troubled. She left her pagan idols behind. Evidently, she had given up on any hope or any help coming from her pagan religion. And she turned to Christ, acknowledging him as the Messiah promised through the Davidic covenant. And she bowed before him and kept on bowing. She said, "Truth, Lord, all of these things that you say about me are true." And she just kept pleading out for, crying out for mercy until he blessed her. And he blessed her. I was really encouraged to read the latest prayer letter from the Arabic Bible Outreach Ministry. Mike Hodge, actually, he was here this morning. He described the great work that God was doing among the Kurds and the Syrian refugees. And just try to put your family in their place. Imagine if your city was being bombed day after day. And some of the Muslims were turning against the Muslim faith. They kept hearing these people cry out in Arabic, "God is great, God is great." And then they'd send a bomb and kill their families. And he said that many of these people are turning to Christ. They're seeing through the darkness of their pagan background. And what a contrast to Jesus Christ. He said, "Love your enemies. Not blow them up, not cut their heads off. Love your enemies." He's a God of grace, and many were getting saved. And just think of what a privilege it is for a Kurd or any of the other Syrian refugees from different backgrounds to come to Christ today. In the church age, we Gentiles, when we come to Christ, I'm assuming most of us here are Gentiles, I think we are, we're no longer like dogs around the table, just looking for some little piece of scrap that falls from the blessing from Israel's table. In the church age, that wall of partition that separated Jews and Gentiles has been broken down, and God sees us as co-equals in the body of Christ. And we become children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, full-grown sons with all the full blessings and privileges of being in God's family, and not just equal with the Jews of what Israel had in the Old Testament, but now both Jew and Gentiles in Christ have a position and a privilege that's infinitely higher than Moses or David or anyone in the Old Testament had. We've been raised up and seated together in heavenly places in Christ and blessed with all spiritual blessings within the veil. And just think of what a privilege and a joy that would be if you're a young person in Syria, and your whole life has been living under the fear of bombs in the name of Allah. And now some of them are starting to get turned off to that. And the Arabic Bible Outreach Ministry is bringing them Bibles where they're reading about a totally different kind of a God of grace and mercy. And yes, the Lord Jesus was tough in dealing with this woman. But he wanted to demonstrate, he wanted to prove to her that her faith was real. And you know, the Lord Jesus is still showing the same kind of compassion to all that come to him in simple childlike faith, the same compassion that he showed to that Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. Those who, and all she did was she came to the Lord and she cast herself at his feet, acknowledging she was unworthy, acknowledging who he is, and she cried out for mercy, and she received a blessing of life. And her daughter was healed. And this is the message that we have for scavenger dogs, just like me and you, former scavenger dogs, now children of God, that's available to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the lesson in the life of this Canaanite woman who came with no privilege, no position, nothing to offer the Lord Jesus, but humbly accepted her assessment, his assessment of her as an outcast of Israel, an alien from the life of God, cast away from the promises and privileges of Israel, and yet she came in simple faith, and the Lord blessed her. Father, help us to appreciate all that we have in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would just open those doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel with others who might be hungry and needy, just like this woman, from this Canaanitish woman, Lord. Give us opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the eternal life that he offers to all that believe. And we'll thank and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.